Welcome to Orchard Conversations, a podcast brought to you by the Orchard community.
Hi, friends. Welcome. Thanks for joining us for another episode of our Orchard Conversations podcast. My name is Benjamin J. Thomas. The Orchard exists to help people become everything that they've been created to be. And we do that in a variety of ways. And one of the ways that you're experiencing right now is through this podcast. If you want to connect with us further, please check us out at theorchardcommunity.com. All sorts of ways that you could get connected, come hang out at a table gathering, watch a digital liturgy, all of those things. But today we're finishing up a series of conversations that we've been in for the past several weeks called From Me to We, all about our interdependence and the way that we are just wired to be together, even though sometimes our society and culture kind of encourage us a little bit more independence. We're a community that values interdependence. So to wrap things up today, we have my dear friend, Anna Hanlund, who is going to share with us and lead us today. Anna.
Hey friends, Anna Hanlund here. As we were planning this series, the title that came up for this last teaching was Weavers of Community. And I can't remember if that idea came from Benjamin or Scott or maybe ChatGPT, but as a person who loves to make things with yarn, I like it. So friends, prepare yourselves because I love a good analogy and I will take it to its fullest extent. We've spent the last several weeks in this series called From Me to We, exploring how we can move our thinking and our hearts to be people who build a place to belong. So as we begin, I want to remind you of this idea that Stephen Covey shares in his book, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, which Scott referenced at the very beginning of this series. Covey talks about how growing in maturity looks like moving from dependence, like the dependence of a child, to independence, and then on to interdependence. And leadership experts like Covey, social researchers like Brené Brown, and physicians like Vivek Murthy, and other thinkers and people who are concerned with social well-being that we've talked about during this series, they all make a very compelling argument that interdependence is necessary for human thriving. We believe this too. Interdependence is one of our values here at the Orchard. But we are not just people who believe in social research and science. We do believe in those things. But we are also people who follow the way of Jesus. And so we believe that there is an even deeper calling toward practicing this value of interdependence. We as Christians have this beautiful vision, this now and not yet reality of the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is a place where interdependence is not just a necessity, but a natural and joyful expression of our interconnectedness. In the kingdom of heaven, we are all part of a single, thriving community, each with our own unique gifts to contribute, yes, but we are not isolated individuals, but rather members of a loving and supportive family. I love the vision that Paul paints in Galatians 5. I'll just read part of it here, but the whole passage where he's talking about freedom over legalism is so good. He writes, "But what happens when we live God's way? He brings gifts into our lives, much the same way that fruit appears in an orchard. Things like affection for others, exuberance about life, serenity. We develop a willingness to stick with things, a sense of compassion in the heart, and a conviction that a basic holiness permeates things and people. We find ourselves involved in loyal commitments, not needing to force our way in life, able to marshal and direct our energies wisely." This is what life is like when we have freedom in God. This is what life is like in the kingdom of heaven. And notice that this is what life is like now here on earth, not in some eventual faraway paradise, but possible today. In this kingdom, there is no competition or scarcity, only abundance and generosity. We are not afraid of vulnerability or weakness, but rather we embrace those things as a source of strength and connection. We are not defined by our individual achievements, but by our shared humanity and our commitment to one another. This feels so broad and huge, doesn't it? And this is again where I appreciate that weaving analogy, because the biggest tapestries are still made up of small threads. This vision of the kingdom of heaven is not just a utopian dream, but a reality that we can already see breaking into our world. We see glimpses of it in the acts of kindness and compassion that we witness every single day. We experience this tapestry of the kingdom in the deep connections that we form with friends, family, and loved ones. You might struggle to see the whole design when you focus on the threads, those few threads that you have in your life. And that's okay. That, dear friends, is the process of faith. Faith is tending well to your own threads, your own small part of the community, and trusting that the purpose, your small actions, your own life has a purpose in the grand design. This work of weaving community, it matters on a cosmic level, and it also matters on a deeply human level, because loneliness and division, contempt and isolation, these are things that break hearts and shorten lives. One thing I'd like to point out as we think about this idea, this weaving of community, this beautiful tapestry of the kingdom of heaven, is that there is a balance between our individual responsibility and the natural tension that comes from being part of a community, from communal thinking. If you've ever worked with fiber, whether sewing or knitting, crochet, weaving, you know that tension is a good thing. It is a necessary part of the craft, but it needs to be the right amount. Too much and the completed project will be pulled out of shape. Too little and it will fall apart. And the interesting thing about weaving community, I told you when there's an analogy, I'm going to run with the analogy, is that there are so many threads and they all affect one another. If you pull one thread in the warp, it will affect all of those cross threads in the weft. Just like living in community, we all affect one another. We can't get around that. In American thinking, we try to deny that. We try to think, oh, I'm an individual and I can do what I want and it won't bother the people around me. Those of us who are weavers of community, we know that that's not the case. What we do affects the people beside us, the people near us, and even the people who aren't that near us. We know that what we do matters. Part of being a weaver of community, of building the kingdom of God, is encapsulated so beautifully in Romans 12, which we've mentioned a couple times in this series. If you haven't read the whole passage, please do that. Paul writes, "For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others." We belong to each other. I belong to you, and you belong to me, and we need to live accordingly. And Paul, writing to the Romans, he goes on to say, "Live at peace with everyone, but..." Aha! What comes right before that? He writes, "If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone." So here we have this truth that we all belong to each other. And in order to be weavers of community, we need to build community in ways that are mindful of what the whole community needs. to carry the weaving analogy further, what we need to consider is, how does our work crafting our own lives, responsibly tending to the threads that we have, the threads of our own health and growth, the threads of our connections to God, to Holy Spirit, and the threads of our relationships to one another, how can that work serve the larger project of building a place to belong, of weaving this tapestry of the kingdom of heaven? To put it another way, how can you weave more love into this world and also take care of yourself? How can you take better care of yourself so that you have more to offer to the community? And another really important question, how can we care for those whose threads are tight or fraying without taking over for them? How can we care for those in need in our community while preserving their dignity and honor? Friends, none of these questions are easily answered. This kind of maturity requires wisdom and discernment, and we only get there with practice. Building your discernment muscles is a spiritual exercise, and just like any exercise, you have to keep doing it in faithful, small ways if you want to be stronger. So, over these past several weeks, we've looked at different elements towards moving toward interdependent thinking, towards building a place to belong, moving from me to we. Today, I want to give you some space to reflect on how you might become a weaver of community. Because as we've said more than once during this series, this journey from me to we is not just a snap of your fingers and change kind of journey. Just like an artisan weaver might need to practice her craft for years to become an expert, so we also need to practice. So as we close out this series, I want to review some of the conversations we had, and I'd like you to engage here. Listen and consider as I recap these about where you personally would like to grow in wisdom. So, what have we talked about? We have explored moving from isolation to authenticity. Maybe the place where you can grow as a weaver is to become more willing to be vulnerable and share your own stories, to let others see the real you, and to be open to hearing their real stories in return. Maybe the place that you need to practice is learning what are some ways you can be more vulnerable in your relationships. How can you encourage others to share their stories with you? The week after that, Ben shared about moving from hearing to listening. Is this an area where you'd like to grow? Maybe for you, weaving your threads means being there for your family and friends when they need you and offering your help and support. How can you be more present and attentive when listening to others? What specific actions can you take to offer support to others? We also talked about moving from problem solving to presence. Is that something that you need to work on? Maybe you can use some practice here. Instead of rushing to offer solutions or advice, can you focus on being present with the people around you, offering a listening ear and support instead of problem solving? Perhaps for you, this involves learning to settle down your inner world and learning to manage your own desire to fix things or fix people in order to allow a space for another person to process. And then, of course, the big one, what about practicing our boundaries? This one is such important and good work, and it can be so difficult. But healthy boundaries, they set us up to honor the unique offering that we have for this world, while also opening ourselves up to experiencing the joy of interconnection, or dare I say it, interweaving our lives with the others around us. Do you need to practice setting stronger, safer boundaries? Or to really lean into the analogy, are you not able to tend to the relational needs that are in your life because you're constantly untangling other people's threats? Or maybe your boundaries are too rigid. Maybe your tension is too tight because you're operating out of fear and hurt. And in order to build community and allow people to get closer to you, you need to loosen that up a little bit, find new ways to heal. And last week, while we officially paused our series to consider and pray for peace in the Middle East, in Israel and Palestine, we heard stories of people who are weaving community in a very high-stakes situation in order to promote peacemaking. And that's something that's worth considering too. Maybe your practice of weaving community needs to include looking for ways to connect with people who are different from you and learn to find common ground. How can you overcome fear and discord inside yourself or in your intimate relationships and works towards unity? Or maybe what are some specific ways that you can celebrate differences and build bridges between people? How can you use your unique gifts and talents to serve the community? We have covered so much ground in the last several weeks. Friends, that is a lot. I just blasted you with so many things to consider. I get that. If you want to go back, if any of those was like either you realize that that's something you want to work on, or you realize that maybe you missed a week, I would encourage you to go back, look at the podcast for that week, re-download it, listen to it again, let that marinate in your bones a little bit longer, because there was so much, and this journey is not one that you can take in 6 weeks. This is a journey that I hope that you'll come back to over time as you continue to grow. But as we go from here, I'm going to give you a simpler set of questions to start with, ones that you might discuss with a table gathering or just to use as a springboard into this ongoing conversation that I hope that you have with yourself, with your God, and with your people. This first question is, what is one place where you would like to intentionally grow as a weaver of community? If none are jumping out at you, or if they are all jumping out at you, either way, I would encourage you to get quiet or perhaps go on a walk, take a hike, and invite the Spirit to nudge you a little bit and give you a place to begin. And the second question to consider is, what type of community would you like to weave? When you think of building a place to belong, what comes to mind? How can you participate in weaving the kingdom of God into this world? I think it's important to note that, you know, people like Scott and Benjamin and I are not the only people who are weaving the Orchard community. We're all part of this. And not only that, but the idea of weaving community can be more expansive even than church community. So whatever that looks like for you, whether when you think of weaving community, you have a big vision that inspires you to take steps forward, or you have a small, humble vision, maybe just with a couple simple steps, like reconnecting with an old friend or inviting a new friend out for coffee. Whatever that is, it doesn't have to be a big, huge vision, and it also doesn't have to be a small, clear step. The Spirit works through all of us in different ways. Whatever that is for you in your own precious soul. Make a note of that, okay? And then question three, what is one idea, question, feeling, or quote from this From Me to We series that you would like to take with you into this next season? Now, friends, is a really good time to pause and do this because it is about to be a very busy season, and it is a season that is going to offer so many of us chances to practice weaving, because that's what we need in order to improve, in order to grow in this practice of wisdom. We need actual practice. Maybe around your Thanksgiving table or in your Christmas traditions, you'll have a chance to practice. Whether that's a chance to practice setting boundaries or peacemaking or listening well or being your authentic self. There are so many opportunities at the holidays to do this. Dear, dear friends, as we continue to strive for interdependence and community, I hope that we all remember that we are doing this good work of bringing the kingdom of heaven closer and closer to earth. We are following Jesus's new command to love one another as he loves us. We are taking the time to do this work, this big work of vision and this small work of faithful, tiny steps toward relational connections, not because we just want to be good people or live happily ever after, but because we are working faithfully in order to create a world where everyone feels loved, valued, and connected. We are working to weave a world where all can thrive. And that is good and lovely and true work. May we all grow in our skill and in our gifts as being weavers of community. Amen.
Friends, thank you so much for joining us today, whether you're listening to the podcast or watching our digital liturgy or part of a table gathering. I want to say thank you for your time, your presence, and being connected to this community. Now, Anna, thank you also so much for your words and your presence today. As we wrap up, I want to draw our attention to a couple things. It's this time of year where we are looking at the end of the year, like it is happening, it's like right upon us. And this time of year often is a great time for us to look outward and look at ways that we can offer gifts back to the world that we have been placed in. How can we serve? How can we love others? And we want to offer a couple opportunities for you today. One, if you live in the Aurora, Illinois area, we participate in this program called Give a Gift, helping children and families with needs this time of year, especially as we head into the cold times of year. And so this year we are partnering with Nicholson Elementary School as an angel sponsor for the Give a Gift program for children and families with essential needs. And so if you're interested in donating items, there's a list that's on our website. You can go to theorchardcommunity.com/giveagift or click the link in the chat if you're watching this online. And bring your gift to Society 57 downtown Aurora. That's where we're going to be collecting them. And all the donations need to be unwrapped. So don't wrap your gift before you bring it. Just bring it unwrapped. It's easy. And bring it there by December 11th if you'd like to participate in that. Thank you so much. The other opportunity I wanted to mention was that what we do here, the Orchard community, this community is totally independent and also totally dependent on those of us who consider this our faith community and our home. And if you are someone who has benefited from and are enjoying what we're creating here, I invite you to help us support the growth that we want to do next year. We have some exciting things planned for 2024. You're going to be hearing a lot about that in the next couple of weeks. But for right now, I want to say thank you so much for your continued generosity supporting this work. If you're interested in partnering with us and joining us in this work, go to theorchardcommunity.com/give, where there's a way that you can contribute financially. If you have other ways that you want to contribute to, we invite you to do that as well, but just shooting us an email at info@theorchardcommunity.com and partnering with us, helping people become who they're created to be by way of these values that we talk about all the time. Thank you so much for your participation in this work. And if also, I need to mention, if you don't have the online access and don't want to do that, you're also always welcome to mail a check to us at the Orchard Community P.O. Box 7688, Aurora, Illinois 60507. Friends, thank you for your continued connection. I want to close us with this prayer, and I'll just kind of pray it over you and just absorb the prayer as a prayer, a unified prayer as we close out this From Me to We series. Take a deep breath. God, Lord of creation, lover of life and of everything, help us to love in our very small way what you love infinitely and everywhere. We thank you that we can offer just this one prayer and that will be more than enough, because in reality, everything and everyone is connected and nothing stands alone. To pray for one part is to pray for the whole. And so we do that. Help us each day to stand for love, for healing, for the good, for the diverse unity of the body of Christ and all creation, because we know this is what you desire. As Jesus prayed, that all may be one. We offer our prayer together with all the holy names of God. We offer our prayer together with Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. Be well and have a wonderful Thanksgiving week. If that is part of your celebration this week, go in peace. Mm-hmm.